hang on just a, yeah, just a minute. Hang on. Hi, podcasters. Sorry, I'm coming at it because I was just awkwardly smelling the head of some teenage girls, and I got some hair caught in my nose. And we're going to talk a little bit about Joe Biden on today's podcast. You don't want to miss that.
Maybe you do, actually, with that little
with that description. Description.
I'll also say that tonight is a great night to subscribe to Blaze TV. In fact, no matter when you listen to this, subscribe to blazetv.com/Glenn. Use the promo code Glenn, you'll save $10, and you'll be able to watch on demand all of our candidate profiles as they roll out. The first one is today. Beto O'Rourke, Bob Frank O'Rourke, Robert Francis O'Rourke, whatever you want to call him. His history, what he believes, if anything. Where he wants to take the country, and how he kind of got to this position where you know his actual fake name.
Yeah. Now, we did a lot of extensive research, but on today's podcast, we decided just to open up the phones and be more like the mainstream media and just ask people, hey, do you know anything about Beto? What do you know? Let us know. We had quite a string of breaking news there for a while. There's some bombshells that I think were really a turning point. In this man's
watershed moment, I would say.
It really was. We'll have that for you. Also, we talk a little bit about the revelation that Alex Jones said in a deposition last week that he is he has a little bit of a psychotic problem. It's not a surprise to a lot of people, but I think your response to how we feel about his lawsuit. Maybe a surprise to some. We'll get into that. Also, the day of mourning. And what would a podcast be without AOC? All on today's podcast.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
I want to talk to you a little bit about home title lock. The Manhattan District Attorney's Office released a grand jury report noting that law enforcement had 2,000 complaints of dead fraud and faulty notarization. Yeah. So somebody is stealing people's homes or apartments, and they're doing it exactly the way we've been outlining on the air.
They only called it an epidemic, though. So well, that's not that bad. That doesn't sound that horrible.
Yeah, there's only one place you can get the cure and the treatment for this one, and that is Home Title Lock. They're the only ones that are watching it. They are uniquely positioned in the industry because they actually are digitally standing right at the gate that I think it's like 90% of all titles in the U.S. have to go through, and they're kept in this vault, this digital vault. And so anytime anything goes through, they are able to see it. If you are on their list, they can protect you, and they'll alert you immediately, and they can help fix it. And if it's been done already, it's hard to fix. So please get your $100 search for free to find out that you're in the clear. Do this for your parents as well. HomeTitleLock.com. That's HomeTitleLock.com. Protect yourself and your biggest investment, HomeTitleLock.com. How many times has this happened to you? You know, you're just talking to a 13-year-old girl, stroking her face. She's a stranger. And stroking her hair and whispering things. And she just does everything she can to get away from you. And then you say, can I just get a picture with the two of us? How many times does that happen to you?
You mean last week?
Yeah.
There's the five or four to carry the six. I mean, 117 times last week.
Really?
With me, yeah.
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 It's very common, Glenn.
Did you carry the zero?
Oh, you know what? 1,160 times.
Thank
you're right.
Thank
I didn't
you.
Carry the zero.
I didn't carry the zero. I mean, this happens to us all the time. Last night, my wife was watching, you know, some of the footage of, I'm just pulling up footage of, here he is here, here he is here, here he is here. She had not seen it. And I'm telling you, we're at the place with creepy Uncle Joe. That we were with Michael Jackson. You know, when we're all like, okay, well, that's kind of creepy the way he has these, young male stars hanging out at his house. And, you know, there was somebody going, he's got a Ferris wheel in his backyard. He's molesting children. And it was like, no, it's just Michael Jackson.
Seems weird to put up a funnel cake stand in your driveway, though.
You want to see the snow cones in my bedroom?
I don't think so. Almost like a breadcrumb trail of treats to a locked room with a bunch of cameras coming down the hallway. Why?
I don't know why. Look, kids, I've got candy in my closet. Okay, that's a bad sign. Bad sign. And when we're looking at Joe Biden, we are going to be, at some point, I fear we're just going to be going, how did we not? Why didn't we say? What happened there?
Yeah. This is interesting because this could be a reason he actually doesn't run, right? I mean, he was accused, in case you didn't hear, of inappropriate behavior behind behind the curtain of an event in 2014 for the Latina Victory Fund. Mm-hmm. And
he loves Latinas.
I don't know. Maybe he does. Mm-hmm. And so,
well, he loves the smell of their hair.
He does seem to like the smell of the hair. So he was, we pointed this out many times before. We were way ahead of this one. People are like, oh, well, maybe you got this wrong or you got this wrong. Well, we got this one right. The smelling the hair thing, we've been on this for a long time. There's some strange thing he has about the smell of a woman's hair or the back of her ears.
Not sure what it is. And stroking their faces and cupping their breasts. Other than that, no big deal.
Yeah, I don't know.
No big deal. Just candy in the closet, kids. That's where I keep my candy. That's where every adult keeps candies.
And this is very similar to the Bill Clinton thing, right? Where the left excuses this uncomfortable behavior because the guy's really important and we have to say good things about him. Mm-hmm. So he's at an event. Apparently, he comes up behind the lieutenant governor candidate. Mm-hmm. In 2014 in Nevada, and does the thing he's done on camera 500 times, put the hands on the shoulder, walk up from behind a woman, put his hands on both shoulders, lean in, take a big whiff of that hair, because there's nothing better than the smell of hair, and then she feels uncomfortable, wants the interaction to end, he whispers something in her ear, and this is a strange one because when you have these other previous Me Too moments, there's usually a denial of some sort. And here there really isn't. I mean, she's just describing the thing we've all seen on camera 100 times.
Yeah. This is not like we don't have to say, oh, I wonder if he did that. We know we've seen him do it 100 times. I have a whole... Right, I mean, I have a whole catalog of pictures here of him...
That exact thing.
Of him doing it. Now, listen... There are times that, you know, I've taken picture with people, you know, with women. I'll have my hand around their shoulder. I'm nowhere near anything personal. You know, I'll lean my head in. If they're like, you know, like you just connect with them, you might lean your head in to them, but not your face. You're looking at the camera and you kind of just lean into them and they're... You know, you're hugging and you're affectionate, but not creepy affectionate. Not like touching people, touching faces, you know, cupping breasts, anything like that. It's creepy.
Yeah, and there's different lines for different people. Like, I've never been a hugger myself.
Yeah, I am.
And you are. And I think that became a thing. Like, I remember when people started hugging when you met them. Like, I remember being like, this is weird. But then you kind of like, all right, I guess this is what people do. And then you hug people. And then later on, I remember the side hug coming in. I feel like that's a relatively recent development.
What's the side hug?
The side hug is when you like, you kind of, you go, you know how for a hug, you go with the kind of two, a typical hug would be two arms and you're bringing the person in, you're hugging them.
Yeah.
The side hug is you kind of bring in, it's kind of half, you're around like one arm and you kind of bump sides. That's the way I would describe this.
Yeah, okay.
It's kind of like a side bump.
Yeah, okay.
You know, it's like you pull them in and you're both kind of facing the same direction as you're hugging. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That sort of side hug thing.
Yeah.
And that I feel like is, you notice some people do that, some people don't. And of course, as a person, you just respect the boundaries. You sense the boundaries or whatever, you know, like whatever the person's doing, you kind of just replicate it. I don't really feel comfortable necessarily hugging people I don't know, but you kind of just do whatever they're doing, you do.
Right.
Joe doesn't have that part of him. It's whatever he wants to do, he just does.
Well, the problem is the look on the women's faces. You know, like if I'm taking a bunch of photos and I notice at some point all of the women look afraid, then you would be, I should probably stop doing that. Nobody's telling me because I'm the vice president or because I'm 800 years old or whatever.
Right.
You would stop doing that. Yeah. He doesn't stop doing that. One of my favorite is a picture of the reporter, The Hills, Amy Parnes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I've never seen anyone. He has her hands around her. Around her waist and kind of moving up towards her breast, and she's laughing in this picture, but you can see she's pushing his hands. She has her hands over his and she's pushing them down like, get off
yes.
me. This is awkward because we're in the White House party and somebody's taking a photo and help, I'm being molested here. Help. I mean, it's an odd photo.
She's holding the border. She's the first reporter ever for border control.
Exactly. Right.
And which is an amazing point because
exactly right.
She is trying to get that. She wants the wall. This woman wants the wall of her arms to separate the breast area and where his hands are. That one is really weird. And they've asked her about it. And she's like, well, no. She just smiles. And she says it's not a problem. And that's what I think everybody says. And maybe it's because they all think they can't speak up. But I mean, I guess that's it. And this is the first woman who has spoken up, although, 5 years later. Right, like, I mean, she obviously didn't think she could speak up either.
But see, here's the problem. Nah, really? Or is it that he's running now? See, here's the problem. If he becomes the candidate, every single one of these, Bernie, everybody, mm-hmm. they're going to be like, oh, I can't believe you would even bring that up. How dare you even say that? They'll do the same. This is all being generated by the Democrats.
Opposition research, essentially.
This is them trying to eat each other. It's fantastic.
Oh.
There's no conservative in this fight. We're all just watching and laughing.
No, it's like, when you come in like late October to work, and there's just bowls of candy all over your office.
Yes,
that's what this is every day.
There's
a new bowl of candy for us every day.
I love this. Who's out socialized the other one? Who's calling for death camps today?
It's really funny unless one of them gets elected.
Then
it's a lot less funny.
You know, it's like you'll just hear your mother's voice from behind the screen door. It's all fun and games.
The best of the Glenn Beck program. Like listening to this podcast? If you're not a subscriber, become one now on iTunes. And while you're there, do us a favor and rate the show.
We have a call from Steve in El Paso. Hello, Steve.
Yeah, hi, Glenn.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Good.
It's Steve Spinkelmeyer, but everybody calls me Julio, like all the Steves in El Paso. It's kind of an El Paso thing.
Okay.
Where all the Steves in town are nicknamed Julio.
Okay. All right. I didn't know that. This is one of these things we learn about by talking to the locals.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, I got some information on Beto.
Yes.
Beto is the guy who actually faked the moon launch.
He faked the moon launch?
He faked the moon launch, and that didn't happen like everybody says. In Arizona, that was in a soundstage in El Paso here, here in El Paso. I directed the whole thing, and
yeah, so you know firsthand because you were there. You directed.
I was there, mm-hmm. and I saw Beto get these astronauts together, and then they made some huge mistakes. There was a fan going because it's really hot in El Paso.
Right.
In July, mm-hmm. and so the fan was moving the flag around, and you see the pictures on the so-called moon that the flag is waving. That's because of the fans we had going in the studio at the time.
Wow, that's amazing. Thank you very much. I appreciate your name is
Steve, but you can call me Julio.
Julio, okay. Thank you very much, Julio. That's big stuff. So there we have breaking news. That's a bombshell.
Wow.
A bombshell on Beto O'Rourke.
It seems like the walls are closing in on his campaign.
Well, it is kind of a turning point here. Mm-hmm. As if you just joined us, apparently Beto faked the moon launch. And we have it from Julio.
Mark this date down. This is the date.
This is the day. This is the tipping point.
He will not serve out this entire campaign.
Yeah, the walls are kind of closing in mm-hmm. on him. This is a big bombshell. We go back now to our next caller. This is Bill. Hello, Bill.
Hi, Glenn. Yeah, this is Bill, but you could call me Jesus. Like all the Bills in El Paso, I got this nickname when I was about four.
Uh-huh.
And so, yeah, I go by Jesus.
You sound an awful lot like the last caller we had, but because we're, you know, journalists, we're not going to even ask you about that. So
yeah.
How can I help you? You have some information.
Well, as you said, the walls are closing in on this guy. I think Beto is in a lot of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
He's in a lot of trouble. He was working for the Falkland Islands. And
He was working.
Falkland Islands. You know how much money he raised? Remember, it was like $80 million, the most ever.
Right.
About $79.9 million of that came from the Falkland Islands. He took money from them for his campaign.
Now, why was he taking money from the Falkland Islands?
Well, they thought he was going to win and that he'd be able to help them with their desires. They really desperately want to become a continent. Beto assured them that he could make that happen. And
huh.
so he
and
was
and
he was
so, so
accepting
he,
a lot of money.
A lot of money.
Money.
And is
yeah.
there any evidence of any of this at all? You know what? Let's not even worry about it.
Okay. Yeah. That's probably best.
Yeah. All right. Thank you very much, Jesus. Breaking news, in case you just joined us, not only did Beto fake the news, the moon landing, but he is also, now we find out, on the dole from the Falkland Islands that want to, as we all know, to be a continent and no longer called. Your thoughts on this?
Well, Beto's campaign has obviously been, he's had a really good run here with the media, but mm-hmm. I think we found his Achilles heel. This Falklands material, I think today changed everything. Mm-hmm. I think now Beto's campaign is clearly underwater.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you have to wonder, will he resign from this
well,
run?
Well, I think we should also just openly speculate without any real hard facts here. Were his children involved? And will he throw his children to the wolves and just see them marched out in handcuffs because of this bombshell regarding the Falkland Islands?
And I think the answer to that is yes.
All right. Let me go to Sally in El Paso. Hello, Sally.
Hi, Glenn. Yeah, this is Sally, but you can call me Gomez. Most of the Sallys in El Paso are, nicknamed Gomez. And so that's
really?
What I actually go by.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sally, you sound...
This is that El Paso is just that way,
yeah,
because it's real close to Mexico, so
right.
That's what happens.
So, Sally, if we weren't journalists, we would point
right.
out, again, you sound like the last two callers, and you don't
that's
sound
weird.
Like a woman at all. But, of course, we're not even
wow.
going to address that because
wow.
it would be
well,
hateful.
Stereotyping, for one thing,
thank
is
you.
Really offensive.
Yes. All right. So, Sally, I'm sorry,
what does
Gomez.
What does a woman sound like, Glenn?
Pardon me?
What does a woman sound like in your
sexist
mind?
No, I don't know. I know that as a journalist, you are. I can say that you sound like a proud black woman.
Okay.
Right.
I'm not black, though. I'm obviously Hispanic.
Because of the name
German.
Of... Sally?
Yes. Well, Gomez.
Okay.
Most people call
right.
me Gomez.
All right. So anyway.
It's an El Paso thing.
Okay. So Gomez, you have some
news.
Yeah.
Glenn, from a dossier that was carefully researched, Beto was caught in bed with dogs.
You mean like ugly?
Like, no. Like actual dogs, like canine dogs. He was staying at a Marriott hotel. And it was the nicest hotel that they had.
Was this in the Falklands? Do we even know?
Yes, it was just on the edge of the Falkland Islands.
Okay.
And he met with dog prostitutes and had them pee all over him.
Really?
And to me, that's just not presidential, Glenn.
Right.
It's
okay.
just
do we
not
have,
presidential.
Do we? Can we ask you where you got this information?
Well, I got it.
from Ted Cruz's opposition research, and some of the women that Cruz had affairs with were willing to give up some of this information.
Wow, that was brave of them.
Yeah,
brave of them.
Yeah, it's one of the bravest things I've ever seen in my career.
Right, right. And your career as...
As a, you know, as a person who spreads rumors.
Right.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Gomez from El Paso.
It's apparently a lot of money to be made in that field, we've learned recently.
I think it's over. Mm-hmm. I think it's over.
I think so. This is a watershed week.
The question is, will he be taken out of the town halls or the debates in handcuffs? And when will that happen? Not if, but when will that happen?
Do you know under the Constitution, can you impeach a presidential candidate?
I think we should. Okay. I think at this point,
it's the beginning and the end.
Let's get Jonathan Turley on to talk to us about exactly how we can twist the Constitution into a way to where we can impeach some of these candidates. Because I think the walls are closing in, and it is clearly. I mean, write this date down. Write this date down. This is the day that Beto was thrown to the dogs. No pun intended. But if you just joined us, Beto was caught in bed with several dogs on the continent of the Falklands, and they were peeing on him.
Yeah. I mean, really, Glenn, this is like a bombshell falling on an Achilles heel.
That's how big it was. Hey, hang on just a second. We have yet another, we have one more person on the phone.
We should just get the name that they call him.
Yeah.
Rather than
what is your name?
Sanchez.
Sanchez.
Yeah, right. My real name is Jim, but since I was about 4 years old, you know, because I'm from El Paso, most people just call me Sanchez, as they do all Jims in El Paso.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
So what do you have about Bob Francis O'Rourke, otherwise known as Beto?
This is incredible, Glenn. Mm-hmm. Beto just ran over 10 puppies with his car, and then he stopped and saw that one of them was just, like, wounded on his leg, and he backed up and drove over him again.
Wow.
A lot of the witnesses say he was drunk at the time. And so I this is a real bombshell. I think the walls are closing in on Beto right now.
Mm-hmm.
And
should he resign, though?
Either that or be impeached from his campaign, Glenn. This is not a good person. I also have it on really good authority that Beto is doing some stuff for the Congo, the Central Republic of the Congo.
Really?
He's a lobbyist in Congo, and he's been funneling U.S. secrets about how to mine linoleum.
I'm not sure.
The linoleum mines in Congo, as everyone knows, and I know you know this, is I don't mean to insult your intelligence, but they're incredibly, incredibly valuable. And he's been giving the U.S. secrets about how to mine and get the most out of the linoleum mines. And he's also been keeping a lot of that money for his campaign. How do you think he got to $80 million against
Well, I thought it was the Falkland Islands. We heard that recently.
I don't know anything about the Falkland Islands, Glenn. I hadn't heard that.
You sound like the person who did break that news earlier.
I just started listening to the show.
Oh, okay. All right.
So
yeah.
I didn't hear that guy, but
all right. So there's some breaking news here that linoleum, which we're journalists, and so we're not going to tell you that you don't actually mine linoleum.
I will say this though, Glenn, if none of these things turn out to be true, we're still right. We're just reporting on the accusations. We're not accusing him.
No, we're
not
of saying course not. That he is taking money and trying to work for the Falklands or running over puppies or having
golden showers.
I mean, it does
feel like a tipping point.
It does.
It does feel like a tipping point.
It feels like today it's over.
The walls are definitely closing
in.
I'll say that.
It really is. This is a bombshell.
This is the best of the Glenn Beck program.
Hey, it's Glenn, and if you like what you hear on the program, you should check out Pat Gray Unleashed. His podcast is available wherever you download your favorite podcast. Let me go to Brian in Utah. Hello, Brian. This is Brian, the ice cream guy.
This is the Colonial Ice Cream guy. Oh, how are you? How'd you like the flavors?
Oh, my gosh. I didn't get a chance to try it until it was almost soup, but I ate it like soup. It was so good. This is the guy from Brooker's Founding Father's Ice
Founding
Cream
Flavors,
Shop.
Right?
Founding Flavors. Yeah. That is some of the best ice cream. I mean, you had me at 18% butterfat. You had me there. But my gosh, that's some of the best ice cream I've ever had.
It's great as soup. It's even better as super premium ice cream.
I bet it's when it's frozen solid, I bet it's really good. Tell me about the movie. You came, you brought your family, you brought some ice cream, and then you stayed for the movie. Tell me about the movie. What'd you think?
And so, you know what? We came to drop off the ice cream with you.
Didn't.
We had a 5-year-old and an 8-year-old with us, so we ended up staying for the movie.
All right.
We wanted to connect with you.
Yeah.
But we had a huge response. We had over 1,125 customers come in, you know, Friday, Saturday, and they're all, you know, cheering for Glenn Beck. It was.
Well, I tell you, if you ever open up franchises, I will invest in one. I mean that literally. That's the best ice cream I've had. That's good. Have you ever had Bluebell?
Deal. So that's kind of the mission. So imagine grocery stores across America where you have pints with these kind of pithy little stories about the founding fathers and the founding principles instead of some hippie tripe on a pint. You've got, you know, something that's edifying.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, it's.
That's the mission.
It's great. So we should talk at some point because I think your ice cream is fantastic. And I think the best ice cream in the country is Bluebell just because it is so creamy and it's just really, really good. Yours is better. Brian, thank you so much. Let me go to Pam in Missouri. Hello, Pam.
Hello, sir. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Great. Great. Saw the movie. There was 4 of us total. One of them was the head of Concerned Women for America for the state of Missouri. Very emotional. I remember, I think it was your first caller, Judy, described it so eloquently. I was so emotionally moved. I'm a pro-life person, but I was so emotionally moved by the movie. It has forever changed my outlook. And I have been talking to everybody about it.
That's great. Pam, thank you so much. Please spread the word on this. I would love to talk to somebody who either took somebody who was not pro-life or took their teenage kids to it. I'm anxious to see the response for kids and how they took to the scene that I think will forever change your life. It's 20 seconds and it forever changes you. And by the way, if you haven't seen it, please see it and know that it's not a dirge. You'll actually walk out feeling uplifted. Jack in Pennsylvania, did you see? You saw the movie this weekend, Unplanned?
Yes, I did. I was telling you, the call screener there. I was impressed with the fact that the theater was pretty well packed. We went to the early afternoon show. The parents with their teenage children that were there, I was impressed with that. The movie, when it was over, people applauded the fact that, you know, the clinic that she worked in was shut down and all kinds of things.
Yeah.
I was very impressed with the movie.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Jack. I appreciate it. I got an email in from somebody over the weekend who was at one of the screenings that I saw, and they said, I have never been at a screening where halfway through the audience broke out in applause. They didn't tell me what part that was. I think I know, but it's a remarkable thing to see. And if you will, evaluate or reevaluate your thoughts on life, and if it's important for you to stand up and be counted. We are in a place now, I truly believe, where if we expect divine providence, this is the easiest thing I've ever seen in my life. I cannot believe that we're even having this debate. When they light up the Empire State Building and they light up the New York City skyline because they have just passed a bill that allows infanticide, it allows the doctor and the mother to decide whether the baby lives after a botched abortion, as that 9-month-old baby is struggling to breathe or struggling to hold on to life, the doctor and the mother can decide whether or not, now that it's outside, if we should just let it die. I can't believe we're having this conversation, but we are. And if we don't, if we can't all unite and stand up on that, if we can't all with love in our hearts stand up and say, you know what, no more, no more. And I'm not going to call people baby killers, and I'm not going to engage in all of these things. I'm going to do it with compassion, but I am going to stand up, because this is an easy call. If we can't do that, I truly tremble for our country, because I do not think that we have a right to claim, lay claim on God's blessings or look for divine providence to save us. At some point, we have to stand up and do our part.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck Program.
Do you see the crazy clips of, I mean, I should narrow it down, the crazy clips that happened just this weekend in one speech from Ocasio-Cortez?
Yeah, you really did have to narrow that a little bit.
Yeah, I did.
No, I've seen some of it. I mean, I'm always amazed from Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is she finds a new way every day to make herself the victim. She is the victim of something horrible every single day.
Well, here's her latest victimhood. Listen to this.
He doesn't have another woman, Hillary Clinton or whoever else, to vilify anymore. So they need to find another woman to kind of prop up and become a lightning rod.
No, that's not. No. I mean, the Democrats really don't get it. Hillary Clinton, what we didn't not like Hillary Clinton because she was a woman.
Yeah, they were very, as you remember, Republicans were very kind to John Kerry and Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
Right. Like they were very, right. They loved Barack Obama.
Right.
I mean, it's like you don't like the person who is in the other party. We all know how partisan politics works. And we all know how this identity politics victimhood crap works, too.
Right.
Because she's identifying herself as the victim of some terrible assault because of her genitals. And that has nothing to do with it.
No.
Nothing to do with it. We don't care about whether you're a man or a woman. You're,
right.
You're a socialist, and that's really the issue.
AOC,
here.
This is why we're making fun of you. Here's the second clip.
So this issue is not just about our climate. First and foremost, we need to save ourselves, period. There will be no future for the Bronx. There will be no livable future for generations coming for any part of this country in a way that is better than the lot that we have today if we don't address this issue urgently and on the scale of the problem.
Okay. She walks through conversation like she's in a haunted house and it's like pitch black and you're like bumping into walls. Like these words just come in orders that don't make any sense. She's kind of like a word. There's like a salad of, you know, of words that sort of just she just tosses them around and eats a random bite here and there. And like, you're like, I think she's talking about the global war or maybe
First of all, could we just talk about the idea that we are 12 years away from death?
Yes, an idea that
from death.
The people who produce the report, the people who are super want to make sure you're scared about global warming, they produce the report. They themselves said it does not say that we are 12 years away from doom. They themselves, this is not me saying this. This has been fact checked by major news organizations. The people who wrote the report say what AOC is saying is wrong. That's what they are saying.
Well, here's how I know that it's wrong. Stu, let's say I come to you and I say, Stu, all life on Earth as we know it is going to die within 12 years because it's going to get massively hot or massively cold. Besides thinking that I'm crazy or asking me where I got that information, what is the first question that you would ask me? What's the first logical question that you would, if you even believed me at all?
That in 12 years?
That all life would be frozen or burning to death. on Earth.
How do we stop it?
Okay, how do we stop it? That would be good. I would say also, hold it just a second. How do we survive? What are we doing to survive? Well,
yeah,
we've got to stop it. Okay, then my next question would be, okay, we got to do all those things. What if this doesn't work? Well, that's why I'm working on social justice. Wait, what? Yes, that's why I'm working on a 15-hour minimum wage. Wait. We're all going to be dead, burning to death in 15 years? Okay, I understand you want the new Green Deal, but okay, yeah, we got to take away all the airplanes and all the cars. I'm saying if that doesn't work and we can't get that done, what else are you doing? Yeah, making sure that we have free Medicare for all. No, wait. We're all going to burn to death or drown. Or something's going to happen in 12 years. You haven't been really specific on that. Are we building an underground shelter? Are we building bubbles? Are we building spacecrafts? Are you talking to Elon Musk about maybe can we move that up a little bit and make sure that we can get this species off the planet? I mean, that's the crazy thing. Elon Musk believes that AI is going to be the death of us. He believes that because once we create AI, if we are not off this planet, there is a chance that humanity does not survive. And so he has said, I believe this. And the only thing that helps me sleep at night is building a spaceship and building a plan to go and populate Mars and cut ourselves off from AI on Earth.
He's acting as if he believes what he says.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Okay. If you believe that, then you have the resources or you have the power and the ability to sway people. You say, look, there's two things, which he's done. One, I've got to start a foundation that stops, is trying to convince people that AI is a gigantic threat. And we're getting some of the biggest names and scientists, and we're trying to pass legislation to make sure we have ethical AI research all around the world. Great. You've done that with Al Gore and his movie and everything. Got it. But in case that doesn't work, there's no in case.
Yeah.
The Green Deal is full of, well, we also have to have 15-hour minimum. We also have to have, reparations. And, what we really need to do is redistribute the wealth. There's not going to be any wealth.
Exactly. If you actually believed these things and it wasn't just a tool to get people to go along to vote with the other things that you want, you certainly wouldn't be arguing for things like reparations. At the very least, you'd actually be saying, what we should do is, first of all, we should actually advocate for destroying the economy. Because the only time we've ever seen emissions drop in any meaningful way is a massive recession or economy collapsing. So first of all, you would be advocating for it. Now, I think the policies they're advocating for may very well destroy the economy.
And I think some of them know it. I think some
of them may.
I think some of them know that, but they're not doing it for global warming. They think the United States itself is destructive.
Right.
And so they are trying to dismantle the economy because it will mean the end of a capitalist America, and that in their feeling is a good idea and something that they should pursue.
And you also would not be advocating to give more money to the people. You would not be advocating for things. I certainly wouldn't. You might advocate for it, but you certainly wouldn't prioritize things like make sure we call people the right gender. You wouldn't want a $15 minimum wage. You would be advocating for 95% tax rates from everyone, not just the wealthy, but the middle class, because destroying someone's, middle class job is meaningless if, we're talking about the entire world going down the tubes.
What was the movie that was really good where the guy went and he was a farmer, remember, and he could fly the spacecraft and he went interstellar. That's what we would be doing if we really believed it. Remember, that was the deal with Interstellar, is the Earth was dying. And it was dying and there was global warming or whatever it was. And so they had to get off the planet. And so they were sending these teams out to be able to find a place where you could have life, another planet where you could have life. That was the whole premise of Interstellar. We would be doing this. Mm-hmm. If that's what we really believed, we would be following in the shoes of Elon Musk, who is not doing it for global warming. He's doing it for AI. But he's the only consistent one. I mean, it kills me when they have these big global warming things and they all fly in on their jets.
And that's a somewhat, people treat that as it's like some glib observation. Why are you flying a plane if you care about global warming? Think about these people and what they're saying. They're saying the entire world is going to be uninhabitable in a decade. And they are flying to events, flying to Washington, D.C. for votes.
Listen,
why would you ever do that?
I think that it would be like having your luncheon or your pro-life fundraisers held at Planned Parenthood. Well, that's because they make great food. No, wait, hold it. What?
You know,
hang on just a second. We're against that. I don't care how good the food is. I don't care how good anything is. I'm not giving them a dime. And it would be the same as pro-life groups getting together and saying, hey, let's, you know what, I know it's a death factory, but we gotta bring them in on this.
Or it's like saying, you know, I've got this big pro-life speech to make and I want to make sure I look good and I can deal with the crowd, so I have to obviously abort this pregnancy because I would be 6 months pregnant in the middle of the speech. I can't do that. I gotta abort this one.
It's crazy.
It's insanity. No one would do it if you actually believed it. And that's not to say that some scientists don't believe it. It's not to say that there are academics who believe it. There are people who absolutely believe that global warming is a real threat. But these politicians are using it to their own advantage.
Because there's no, why would you want reparations if we're all going to die?
What's the point of them?
Years?
What are you going to do with it?
Right.
What are you going to do?
Hey, you know what? We're all going to die in just a few weeks. But I want to make sure I get your surname right. I want to make sure I get the right pronoun for you, Mr. Miss It. I want to make sure. That's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
And it's amazing that anyone would fall for it. I mean, in all seriousness, anyone who would fall for what AOC is pitching on this, you just have to be a dunce. I mean, she's obviously not serious. The people around her are promoting things that they don't live by. Obviously, all of their actions tell you they don't actually believe these things. You know, for example, when she released the Green New Deal, she had this Q&A that they mistakenly posted.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all these things like get rid of airplanes in 10 years and blah, blah, blah. And then she came out, well, I like to fly to go see my mom, so I don't want to get rid of airplanes. Why not? Why on earth would you not want to get rid of airplanes if you thought the entire globe was going to be uninhabitable in 12 years?
We're all going to be eaten by lions.
I like lions, and that's why I've got a lot of them in my backyard.
What are you talking about, Siegfried and Roy? They're going to rip your face off. No, you don't have both positions.
This is the best of the Glenn Beck program.
We're thrilled to have in studio Elizabeth Johnston. She is the author of a new book called Not on My Watch, but she's also doing something called The Day of Mourning. And she did one in New York, and you're doing one now in Virginia, right?
Yes.
And we want to talk about that. She is a mom of 10 children. You know what causes that, right?
Yeah, my husband's a doctor. We do know. Yes.
Okay, all right. Anyway, 10 children. She's homeschooled all of them. And now she has become an activist on abortion, Islam, feminism, the homosexual agenda. I mean, I'm sure you have been called everything. And maybe even the Sultan of Brunei at this point, by the media. But welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Thank you for being unafraid. What is it that made you say, I got 10 kids. I'm going to do this too.
I'm going to be hated and get death threats too, huh?
Yeah.
You know, when Obama issued his transgender bathroom directive, and I knew that 200-pound men were going to be able to be in the locker rooms and dressing rooms of our little daughters.
Yeah.
I no longer recognized my country. And I feared for the America that my children and my future grandchildren mm-hmm. would grow up in. And so I felt that it was time to get off of the sidelines and on the front lines of the culture war.
Do you ever regret it?
No, because I keep at the forefront of my mind my children's future. That mm-hmm. is what motivates me. And you know that we have radical social Marxists in places of
I've power. Heard that. I've heard that.
Yes, and I've listened to you talk about that for 18 years. So because of these radical Marxists who want to transform our nation into a very dangerous and an alarming place, we have to speak up. We have to be bold and courageous. And as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we should be motivated to be bold and courageous for our children more than anyone.
Because you have listened to me for years and years, when you heard me say years ago, there's going to come a time when you're not going to recognize your country. Mm-hmm. Did you ever think it would get as bad as it is right now?
Man, I mean, just 6 years ago, we had no idea, for instance, that the whole transgender agenda and narrative would have children being stolen from their parents because their parents don't support them taking non-FDA approved drugs to change their sex. We would have never dreamed of that moment just 6 years ago, would
we? Crazy. No.
Right.
No, it is absolutely insane.
So it's an assault on our parental rights. It's an assault on our liberty, our freedom. And I take that very seriously, obviously, as a mama bear. And there is a very large audience of mama bears in our country who are inspired every day by the bold stand that I am blessed to be able to take. And they're getting off of the sidelines and they're engaging in this battle.
I believe that unless we have a moment like Abraham Lincoln had halfway through the Civil War, where he took the hard stand and said, okay, Lord, what do you want of us? End of slavery. And he made it about slavery. He stood up for what was right. And then he called for a national day of prayer, mourning,
fasting, and
repentance. And that changed everything. The course of our country, it changed. And you can mark it to the day on the battles that he declared that. I think personally we have to have that for our country, and it has to come from the president. I think we need to have something like that. But you're doing these, you did it in New York, you're doing it now in Virginia. Tell me about it.
You're right. This is not the first time our nation has been in a crisis. You know that. Yeah. You know your history.
Yeah.
And there have been national and presidential calls for fasting and prayer.
Yeah.
And that is where we are. When Governor Cuomo and the radical feminists lit the World Trade Center up pink, celebrating the execution of babies.
It's crazy.
Yeah. We knew that we had to do something. My inboxes were absolutely slammed with people saying, what can we do to rescue these babies? And so we had an incredible time in Albany. I cannot tell you how powerful the event was. And you were such a huge part of that, because just having me on your show brought our biggest donor to us that we have had to this point. And he has also supported us for this Richmond, Virginia Day of Mourning. And the reason that we've set our sights on Richmond is obviously because of Governor Ralph Northam, who has not only been embroiled in controversy over his outrageous comments about infanticide, killing babies after they're born, after 40 weeks, but also in a whole racist narrative that has taken place. It's interesting, 50% of our speakers are African Americans at this Richmond, Virginia Day.
Well, they're the ones that were originally targeted with Planned Parenthood. That's where it came from. Was
Margaret Sanger, their founder.
Yeah, horrible stuff. Are you just... are you working with WRVA in Richmond at all?
No, not yet, I don't
think.
Okay,
I'll put you in touch with
our
affiliate, and they are great.
Great.
Hopefully they'll want to help you promote this.
Yeah, we have got Bishop E.W. Jackson. This is this Saturday. Mm-hmm. He actually ran he's an African-American who ran against Governor Northam. He's going to bring the house down. Mm-hmm. We have Ron Archer, I don't know if you've ever seen the video about the trick baby online, powerful viral video of man who says, I was a trick baby.
Yeah.
His mother's pimps tried to abort him many, many times. Mm-hmm. He is now a powerful minister of the gospel, doctor and speaker. He will be speaking. Little 8-year-old Blythe Mullen, who was rescued from abortion and her mother chose to put her up for adoption. Mm-hmm. She will be sharing how she was unplanned, but certainly not unwanted. Mm-hmm. It is going to be a powerful time. We had 4,000 in Albany and 40,000 watching via live stream. And we, our heart is, you know, this isn't a fundraiser. This isn't a pep rally. This is a solemn assembly, a time of fasting and praying and mourning over what we have done for 46 years to these babies. We're tired of the half measures, Glenn.
I think that you're on the right track, and I applaud you for this. I think if we have to stop saying, where's God in all this? Where, you know, hey, God, you got to run to our rescue. No. We have to stop wondering if God's on our side and start wondering if we are on his side. Mm. And he's moving all the big boulders. I mean, what's happening right now is remarkable to me. There are so many things. I mean, lighting up the Empire State Building and that whole thing, that has led to a huge swing in millennials looking at things differently and saying, wait a minute. So he's moving all the big boulders. All we have to do is stand and then turn back to him and say, okay, we repent, we're sorry, and we understand who's in charge, and we want to be on your side here. Mm. And I think the day of mourning in Virginia is great. It's happening this Saturday.
Yes, 1:00 at the Greater Richmond Convention Center. If you go to dayofmourning.org, and mourning is spelled M-O-U-R-N. If you go to dayofmourning.org, you will see how you can donate. We have a lot of expenses with the venue. You'll see how you can register to get free tickets. It is a free event, but you will need a ticket if the event sells out. And you'll see who our speakers are. And we're asking the country, we're asking the entire nation this Saturday to wear black, to fast and pray, and to repent for the sin of abortion. And we believe that we are touching the heart of God, our Creator, who really founded America and established our nation so that we would push back the cultural Marxists, would push back the tide of evil. We believe that God is listening to us right now. And he promised that if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. It's like an equation, Glenn.
No, 1 plus 1 equals 2.
If we will do this, then he promised us he will do this. So if we believe in him and his promises, then this is the track that we need to be on.
And humility is the first step in that. Day of Mourning. Day of Mourning, spelled M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G. It's dayofmourning.org. It happens in Richmond on Saturday. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Glenn.
God bless.
The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.